This is Pastor Stuart Schneider welcoming you to a service of worship at Community Presbyterian Church in Bellefonte, Kentucky. Come, let us worship the Lord together. Our first reading is from 2 Timothy, Paul's letter to his disciple, Timothy, 3rd chapter, verse 14th verse through the 4th chapter, verse 5. As for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believe, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I solemnly urge you, proclaim the message. Be persistent whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. Convince, rebuke, and encourage with the utmost patience in teaching, for the time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to myths. As for you, always be sober. Endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, carry out your ministry fully. Listen for the word of the Lord in this reading.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is from Luke, the 18th chapter, the first 8 verses. Jesus told his disciples a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city was a widow who kept coming to him, saying, 'Grant me justice against my opponent.' For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?'" Listen for the word of the Lord in this reading. Matt Dillon strides slowly down the street, his eyes a manly squint against the western sun, his jaw set in righteous determination. Approaching from the other end of the street is the generic bad guy, his mouth twisted into a sneer of derision, celebrating in his evilness. He is a gunslinger. It is what one must be to survive a brutal world. Matt is the living embodiment of decency, but oddly, he is about to engage the bad guy, not upon principles of decency, but upon the bad guy's own turf, violence as the ultimate resolution of conflict. Killing people is a bad thing to do, but somehow Matt's goodness means that he can do badness and still be good. The two approach, each waiting for the other to make the first move. For a long second, their eyes bore into each other. Who will initiate the violence? That's the world of the Western. Whatever else may happen, sooner or later there must be two armed men on an empty street. No other course is possible in the world of the Western. Indeed, those who live within this world cannot conceive of any other outcome, And the audience would be sorely disappointed if such a way were presented. For them, this is the real world, the only range of possibilities that is open to them. Somebody in embodying evil has to die. Some other person embodying truth, justice, and the American way must do the killing. This is the only possibility in the world of the Western. Now, my question to both Matt and to the bad guy is this. In the larger world in which we actually live, what kind of a fool would do something this stupid? Walking down an empty street to test your reflexes and your accuracy at the peril of your very life. I was a law enforcement officer for 30 years, and only on one occasion did I ever see an officer do anything this stupid. And that guy was an idiot to begin with. There is something very wrong with the world of the Western, and very wrong with us for we embrace it so eagerly. This is important to think upon, for one of the best ways to discern the weakness of a social system is to discover what it excludes from conversation. We live, you see, embedded within the structures which make up our social system. These structures weave society into an intricate fabric of power and relationships. They tell us what courses of action are open to us and what courses of action are just unthinkable. And yet, in the midst of it all, some of us actually suggest that it is possible to think outside the box and embrace a better way. It is harder to see this better way and requires discipline, but the effort is worth it. Paul writes, "As for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." I believe that, church. I'm not a biblical literalist, but I do believe that the study of Scripture, accompanied by disciplined prayer, has the power to change our perceptions of the options that lie before us and allow us to think outside the box. It must be said that not everyone believes this. Many see the, quote, quote, real world in radically different ways. It is what it is, they think, immutable, brutish, nasty, and short. I got some insight into that real world this week on Facebook, of all places. The topic was the unfortunate words spoken about women by a presidential candidate, explaining that his celebrity meant that he could assault women without consequence. The person to whom I was replying had posted, "You may think that your nice, generous, polite boyfriend or your endearing, lifelong husband has not participated in talking about the other sex, but you are sadly mistaken. Get a grip on life and realize that things are never gonna be what you dream about. There is never going to be an untarnished suit of armor for your perceived Prince Charming to wear. Realism, folks." That's what he wrote. Realism, folks. Matt has to find himself on that street once a week, and there is no possible outcome but that someone must die. It is the real world. I simply could not let that go unanswered because I am, above all things, a practicing idiot. And so I replied, "Yes, I've heard quite a lot of comments like that in junior high school. I heard fewer in high school. I hear no such remarks from grown-up, mature adults." The thing that took me totally by surprise was what happened next. You would have thought I had spit on Abraham Lincoln's grave. He wrote back, very typical. I'm better, more mature, more educated than you are. Elitist response. Keep your head up your... That's an excellent place for it. Also, almost predictable. Join the real world. He's being real, unlike how you'd like everyone to view you. I was really saddened by his understanding of the world, that the world is as the world is, and nothing can change it. It is what it is. End of discussion. I should have walked away, but being a practicing idiot, I suggested that the world needn't be that way. I wrote back, in the real world where I live, people of my acquaintance do not speak like that. That's the real world in which I live. I'm very sorry about the real world you live in. Your experience, however, does not define reality. It merely informs others of where you live. Naturally, that brought me in for even more abuse. Very elite, condescending comment. I bet you're the life of the party. Guilty. You pick the man or woman and I will show you their lecherous behavior. That's being realistic, he writes. At this point, things went really sideways as a couple of women chimed in to accuse me of hiding behind a robe and explaining that the sort of sexual assault the candidate spoke of is no federal case in the real world. LOL, I agree. Sometimes a grab is just a grab. Why make a federal case out of it? And as for being a pastor of a church, I don't believe you are exempt from being guilty of talking about the opposite sex. Another woman, sensing that the preacher was now on the ropes, then chimed in, oh, this always turns into, I don't act or talk that way. Seriously? People don't hear your thoughts because if we did, you would be just as guilty as everyone else. Sin is sin, no matter how innocent you play. My original correspondent then finished me off with, poor preacher is allowing his politics to guide his calling. He doesn't know which of his deacons has a problem with porn. It's probably a good thing, too. He seems like the type to publicly shame them. I was speechless. There are women that are okay with this? There is a population who lives in an experiential environment in which sexual assault is both to be expected and impossible to avoid. What those replying to me call the real world is the world into which we go, church, bearing the gospel. It is the environment we address. It begins to look like we have our work cut out for us. My opponents in this discussion quite literally cannot conceive of someone who does not embrace their real world. And the only conclusion they can draw of someone who speaks of a better world is that that person is lying. It's monstrous. It's awful. It's the world in which we live. How do we proceed? What are we to do? Paul advised Timothy, I solemnly urge you, proclaim the message. Be persistent whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. Convince, rebuke, and encourage with the utmost patience in teaching. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Or will he find the world that my correspondents were describing? You have a calling, church. You have a calling to proclaim the better world, for the time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to myths. The world my correspondents describe is the hopeless world of Gunsmoke, a place where evil and hatred have proclaimed victory, where might makes right. In our time, it is a world in which sexual assault is to be overlooked because it is what it is, and any other course is beyond imagining. The world in which we, who hear our calling, live, is other than that. Bring the word, church. Bring the word. Amen. Please join with me as we affirm our faith from the apostles. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our psalm that we recited this Sunday proclaims, "My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved, and he who watches over you will not fall asleep. Behold, he who keeps watch over Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord himself watches over you." And Paul, in his final letter to Timothy, reminds us, "As for you, always be sober, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, carry out your ministry fully, and be aware always that the Lord himself watches over you. You are not alone in your calling. You have your work cut out for you. God's creation is not the evil place my correspondents fancy it to be. Your job is to bring the light into the world. Until we meet again, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." And God's church said, Amen.